The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
One listener texts in to say, what a day in Dublin supporting the Mica families. The government needs to listen to that protest today. I hope they remember it's nearly 10,000 votes. Donegal people remember. Well, it's people from Mayo and Sligo and Clare as well who were affected by a growing crisis. We have given quite a bit of time in recent weeks to the issue in this programme, including an interview with the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, last week in some detail. We'll be hearing from more politicians in just a little while. But that protest today started at the Convention Centre before it moved on to Dáil Éireann. I went down to the Convention Centre and here are some of the interviews that I conducted. Professor Paul Dunlop, tell me why you have become personally involved in this campaign, why you've come today to Dublin to the Convention Centre as part of this protest.
Well, Matt, like so many people in Donegal, like our family have been caught up in this crisis, and we suspected that we had mica cracks in our walls a few years ago. When the scheme opened up last year, we went through the testing regime and our testing results came back 3 weeks ago and just totally gobsmacked to hear that my house has to be demolished.
Demolished? Yes. I mean, why does it have to be demolished? What exactly is the extent of the problem in the structures of these buildings?
Okay, so legally, there's going back to 1949, the law states that you're only allowed to have 1% mica in the blocks, okay? So my blocks have got 16%. Now, every 1% of mica in a concrete block is meant to sort of weaken it by about 5%. So, I mean, it's just structurally not sound.
Why is that? What is it? And I think you have an expertise, don't you, in the Ice Age and all the rest of it. But bring me into the 21st century. What is wrong with mica? What does it do to the structure of the brick, which then makes the building vulnerable and need to be demolished?
Yeah, okay. So the blocks that were made in our homes up in Donegal came from a quarry that was quarried using a rock called the Peelite. And Peelites full of this mineral called muscovite mica. Now, muscovite mica, I've been explaining it, it forms in sheets, like layers. It's like a pack of playing cards, and you can actually flick the minerals apart. So it's very, very fine, glassy sheets. And what happens with mica is that basically water gets in between the sheets and they swell. And once that mica swells, then it puts a pressure on the surrounding aggregates and cracks the blocks. And if you've got a high percentage of mica in your block, then and it starts cracking, then water then starts seeping in the cracks and it starts interacting with the other mica minerals that are in the aggregate. So it just only ever goes one way, only ever gets worse.
Does that mean that the walls could actually come falling down? That as the cracks worsen, you're vulnerable to the collapse of walls?
Yeah, well, I mean you've probably heard people talking about blocks up in Donegal being described as Weetabix blocks. They all end up like that. You can actually lift a concrete block and crush it in your hands. I mean, it's really shocking. So walls will fall down eventually.
Did you have your house built for you or did you purchase it? And what sort of structural report was done at the time when you got the house?
Well, you know, we like many people in Ireland, went in the like brand new housing developments that were being built. So there was like 50 houses in our development. They were all meant to be done and supervised by an engineer, all signed off by architects. I mean, the builders didn't really know what was going on with the blocks, I guess. It's not really their fault, but the manufacturers and suppliers should have known about the content of mica in those blocks and they should have been tested. But regulation wasn't happening, they knew that. But, you know, we just, in good faith, like bought a family home and a housing development so our kids would have somebody, have friends to play with, we would have friends and neighbours because we're not from Donegal, I'm from Derry and my partner's from Galway. We had moved up from Galway to start a new life because I got a lecturing job up at the university and she got a job in the HSE in Donegal. So just trying to be part of a community, you know, and it's just all gone south.
And how upsetting and distressing is it now, the realisation that you may have to actually demolish your house, that you've been told you're going to have to do that? How distressing is that, somewhere that you love, and also then having to take on the cost of the rebuilding and finding somewhere else, if you can find somewhere else, to live while that work has been done?
Right. Well, first of all, I can't explain the trauma of someone telling you that you're going to lose your home. It's traumatic. It's really, really is. And we were trying to deal with that the last sort of few weeks and starting to wrap our heads around that the place where all our kids, our Molly and Oisin, have grown up, we're going to lose the notches on the walls where we measured their heights. You know, all those things, the handprints on the walls, those memories are gone and we've got to start from again. We have an added issue that the County Council granted planning permission in our development on the floodplain, so we got wiped out in the 2017 floods in Inishowen. So we are now in a situation where our neighbours have reinstated their homes to the value of about €80,000 to get back into their homes again, to be told they've got mica. And we're now looking at a position going, well, can we can we? It doesn't make sense for us to build in a floodplain. So we're it's crazy. I mean, you could not write this.
How much do you reckon would it cost to actually rebuild your house?
I think at the minute we're probably looking at somewhere in around 70, 80, 100,000.
So you're on the lower side compared to some other people who say that the scheme doesn't actually give them enough money to build like for like again.
Yeah. Well, so we'll probably be able to build like for like because we're just in a housing development like a lot of people in Donegal. But I mean, the bottom line is that by the time I get through this system and rebuild this house, if it all goes well, you know, because the council seem to be challenging people who are for demolitions, we're just waiting to get the go ahead, you know. But like, if I have to pay another 100,000 for a house that's worth 150,000, I'm going to spend, you know, I'll be working for this for the rest of my life until I'm in retirement in the 70s for something that's in a floodplain, not worth anything. We can't even get flood insurance, Matt.
How encouraging, though, is it, as an aside, to see the thousands of people who have come down to Dublin today for this protest?
You know something? That psychologically has been such a boost for people because everyone in Donegal was afraid to talk about Mica. You didn't want to mention that you had it because you were staring in the impossible possibilities of what was going to be your future if you're losing your home. Also the finances of it. Also the fact that you're going to lose your housing insurance. Also the stigma of it. And this has just given people a chance to go, you know something? I am not alone. It's a fantastic thing. And it actually shows the scale of what's going on. I mean, people have been putting a Google map up with lots of pointers recently. About here's the number of homes that have been affected. You can't actually see any showing on it. It's shocking. And the families that are down here are down to sort of demonstrate to these TDs and this room. You know, they've all went up and seen it. You know, they all know what needs to be done. They just need to do the right thing. I mean, I was just saying to another colleague earlier on there, you know, like the founding fathers of the state in 1916 would not have fought for people to have homes that were falling apart. I mean, they just would not have done it.
Ronan McLaughlin is sitting here on his bike in his full mammal gear, having cycled all the way down from Buncrana in Donegal to participate.
I'm not quite middle-aged yet.
Okay, but it's just a nickname for the gear. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about why you've decided to become involved and why also you decided to do so by cycling all the way from Buncrana.
Well, you know, I've been in cycling my whole life. I was a professional cyclist for 6 years and been cycling for 20 years at this stage. So it just seemed like something that I could do to sort of bring a bit of awareness to the 100% redress campaign within the cycling community and just sort of get the message out there about what's happening in Donegal and Mayo about the 100% redress scheme that we need up there.
Are you personally affected by this, or...?
Not personally, no, but, you know, immediate family and cousins and uncles and aunts and, you know, I don't think there's anybody in Donegal who doesn't know someone that isn't affected. You know, it's literally a pandemic in the houses up there, and I think at the last number I heard was something like 6,000 houses affected. I mean, you look at just the population of Donegal, you know, that you don't need to be a mathematician to work out that, you know, there's going to be someone pretty close to you that is affected. And worse than that is that people just don't know yet. These blocks have still been available till recent times, and this problem could go on for years ahead, and people just, you know, through no fault of their own have this in their house and are completely unaware as of yet. So, you know, it's terrible what's happening at the moment. It will most likely get worse, and, you know, we need to get this 100% redress scheme for people who, you know, their houses are literally falling down through no fault of their own.
How encouraging is it to you to see how many people have turned out here from Donegal today, but also that it is now getting national attention and national support?
It's fantastic. You know, I as you said, I cycled down here this morning, but my arms sore than my legs because the amount of cars passing. There wasn't a minute went past with a car or a bus come past pumping the horn and shouting support and, you know, waving back to them all. And, you know, that I was thinking the whole way down, there's going to be some crowd here in Dublin today. And just looking around us here today, you know, I don't think anybody expected this size of a crowd. And it is very, very important to get the message out there. And, you know, it comes back to that. As I was saying, there's people affected that don't know yet. And the same thing, if it can happen in Donegal, if it can happen in Mayo, it can happen anywhere in the country. And that's why, you know, as a country, we need to stand together now and help the people who are affected right now.
As a former professional cyclist, it's probably no bother to you, but how far is Buncrana from Dublin? How long did it take you to cycle?
It's 250 kilometres to the GPO, and it took me 7 hours and 10 minutes.
Fair going. Great cause, though. Well done. It's not just Donegal people who are here today. Who are you and where are you from, please?
My name is Matt Webb. I'm from Mayo. And we're here today because the pyrite situation in Mayo. We're here to highlight it along with our friends here from Donegal.
So there's a separate issue as well as the mica issue, the pyrite in other western seaboard counties.
Yeah, pyrite is very bad down in the North Mayo region, down in the likes of Ballina, Killala, Kilfine and surrounding areas. Again, we're here to support and to bring up the 90% just isn't enough.
I can I ask you, what about your own personal situation? Is your house badly affected? What do you, are you going to have to do?
We are going to have, our house is affected badly enough with cracks with the, due to pyrite, and we are going to have to put a lot of money into it if we don't get our 100%. It's money we just don't have, do you know? My wife is here with me today, and my three kids are here as well. This is the youngest fellow, Oisín, and we're here today to highlight it, do you know, because it's an absolute disgrace.
How long are you in the house?
We're in our house since 2006.
And was it a new build at the time?
It was a new build, yeah. It was built a couple of years previous to that.
And when did you realise that you had a problem?
April. You know?
So it's only recently with the publicity that you went and had the checks done, was it?
Yeah, got the checks done, yeah. Like, even to go and get the test was 5,000 for the test, like. Even to come up with that type of money, let's say small kids and trying, working hard, just trying to provide for our family. Do you know? And it's just, it's not fair. We're very upset over the whole thing. That's our family home. But that's going to have to be knocked to the ground. Like, it's the emotional stress of it all, and it's the memories that are in that house. It's not going to be the same house when you rebuild it. Do you know, we've had some great times in that house since we've been living there. And we have special memories from friends that are no longer with us, and just different things. And it's upsetting to think that the house that we have had and shared so many good memories, that all our neighbours and friends from the area, it's heartbreaking.
Your wife is here as well. Karen, obviously, clearly your husband is very upset and emotional. This must be a very, very distressing time, particularly to have only learned it quite recently, perhaps unexpectedly.
Yeah, and it's not just us. Like, there's people in worse situations. Like, we have a bad situation, as in we've three small kids. We were getting on the right side of having our mortgage paid. There's other families we're in the state. There's other families, like, retired. They don't have the money for putting it. They can't even get tested.
So this is a very unexpected financial consequence as much as the emotional consequence of the damage to your house.
Yeah, the reason we got tested, we were about to put some money into the house. We were going to invest, we were going to upgrade windows, maybe doors, the internals of the heating system. So we said there's no point, without getting a test on pyrite, there was no point in going ahead with that. And now every single dream we had is shattered. Just nothing.
So thank you to all of the people who spoke to me when I went down to the convention centre earlier today. We're joined now by Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers, but first by the Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, Padraig McLaughlin. Padraig, you have a motion down in the Dáil in the next while, which the government apparently will not oppose. What's in it, please?
Well, the motion, obviously, as all of these motions do, outlines the problem. And the problem is that we have a scheme, the defective concrete block scheme for families in Donegal and Mayo, that's just not fit for purpose, as you've well documented, Matt. I commend you that for the work you've done on this over the last number of weeks. So the motion calls for 100% redress to the families in Donegal, Mayo, and of course it will hopefully include Clare and Sligo soon. That motion will start now in the next few minutes here in the Dáil, and the government have said they won't oppose it. That's very welcome news. It's a big morale boost for the people who came to protest today and the families at home in Donegal, but the government must urgently now move to implement it.
A lot of people are getting in touch, though, wanting to know why it is that it's falling to the government to put up the money for what needs to be done. Why doesn't insurance cover it, or why don't the suppliers of the bricks put up the money?
Well, in the case of Donegal, the construction manufacturing companies responsible, you know, if you were relying on them solely, you know, you wouldn't get anywhere near what we need to do. And I would just point out the precedent. The precedent, of course, is a pyrite remediation scheme available to families in Dublin and North Leinster. Over 2,000 families in Dublin and North Leinster are available of that, and it's fully funded. And that was fully funded by the state. So that precedent is there. And what we're asking is for the families in Donegal and Mayo to be treated exactly the same, to have a fully funded scheme, to not have to go and get a second mortgage, or indeed in the case of older people, just be left blown in the wind. I don't think anybody in Ireland wants that, and we need to do what's right by them.
What about insurance, though? Why hasn't insurance covered it?
Well, I've listened to Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, say that in recent days, and certainly government After they agree to 100% redress scheme and start to put that in place, I think it's fine to look at recouping money. By the way, the banks and financial institutions are benefiting hugely from this. They have assets that are worth nothing, been restored to full market value. They should make a contribution. So there's a range of interests that I think should contribute. But first of all, the state should agree to 100% redress, same as pyrite remediation scheme, and how they recoup the money down the line is the state's business.
Padraig McLaughlin of Sinn Féin, thank you for joining us. Senator Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, what do you expect your party and government to do now?
Good afternoon, Matt, and hi to Padraig as well. Look, I attended that protest today out of the convention centre. We had thousands of people travelling from Mayo, from Donegal and from Clare as well, and some from Sligo. So there was considerable public support for all of those families affected. And I just want to say that I think the scheme that it's good to have a scheme, but the scheme is clearly falling short of where we need it to be. We do need to move that threshold, that 90% threshold, up to 100%. I say that because, in effect, it's not even 90% currently, because, yes, you need to put in 10% yourself, but that's 90% based on a very low cap in terms of rebuild cost. And as everyone knows, the cost of building has gone through the roof at the moment. So we've worked it out. We think that the average, I suppose, gap in terms of what the citizen would have to pay will be in the region of €100,000 per house on top of the scheme, what it currently offers. And let's be frank about it, very few people would have access to that level of money. A lot of families can't get extra mortgages, can't get any credit, and they shouldn't need to do that. And I think the important point is that we need to ensure parity with our friends and colleagues in the east of the country, where there was a redress scheme that was 100% funded.
It 100% no funded, Lisa, but for much, much smaller sums of money required for the actual rebuilding or reconstruction work. We're talking about here a scheme that it had been envisaged might cost €20 million a year, now potentially costing €1 billion. Can the state afford that?
I think the state has to deal with this. We can't leave people in homes with their homes and walls literally falling down around them. We just can't leave people in that situation. They can't. The scheme is so inaccessible at the minute that lots of people cannot afford to get into that scheme. That, to me, says the scheme is not working. And yes, there are differences in costs in terms of the scheme that was in the east of the country as opposed to the scheme in the west of the country. But that's not really the problem of the people impacted in Mayo and Donegal. You know, they shouldn't be punished or discommoded simply because there's more people affected or it's going to cost the government more to fix this problem. This is exactly why we have a state, to step up to the plate in times of need, to look after citizens when all other options have been exhausted. And I can assure listeners, every other option has been exhausted. This is the only show in town. That's why we had thousands of people on the streets in Dublin today, because if this doesn't work out for people, there is nowhere else to go, and their homes are crumbling down around them. So we've already come 90% of the way. All we're saying now is let's go the extra 10%. People are already devastated by what's happened. Nobody wants to knock their home to the ground and start again. Absolutely nobody. But they're in such a desperate situation that they need the state and the government to step up to the plate and do the right thing here. I believe something will happen. The Taoiseach was in Donegal last week. Minister O'Brien has met the groups, and he'll meet the groups again. And I think that a solution to this can be found by bringing all sides together.
Senator Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, thank you. We heard from Padraig McLaughlin, the Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, who went into the Dáil there in relation to the motion which he had put down.